Charles, your mission today, should you decide to accept it, is to lead with results of what the products do for people and what kind of results you've had so far, and then talk about why that's so and what you do to get that. Now, today, we have got Charles Ragu. Now, Charles Ragu is fascinating because he's been working as a healer for decades and been doing and studying martial arts for decades. And like the rest of us, you know, there's sometimes I give the example of this one movie where everyone seemed to get touched in their own unique way. And they didn't know why they were doing this obsessive art or just had to be somewhere at a certain time and place. And they all showed up in this one particular place, and the movie was called Close Encounters of a Third Kind. And in many ways, the Ormus community is like that. People have got no idea why they keep showing up, completely obsessed by this thing that we call Ormus. And it just seems to take up more and more and more of their time, effort, focus, to the point where they sometimes I can't do anything else. Well, one such person is called Charles Ragu. And here's a man who was taken under the wing by John Hudson, because John Hudson recognized that this man had passion and heart. So, Charles, you're our guest, buddy. Welcome yourself to the call. And why don't you give us a little bit of a history about how you got involved with this thing from your point of view. We'll start from there.
Okay, well, my name is, again, Charles Ragu. I live in Greenville, South Carolina in the U.S. of A. And I've been training in the martial arts for a little over 30 years. And how I got into the whole Ormus thing is by accident, actually. I was watching a television show on, I believe it was Discovery or History Channel, and was talking about the mana of St. Nicholas, the actual real Santa Claus. And so that right there piqued my interest, so I immediately got online and did a Google search. Because they're saying that there's a liquid that is secreted from the bones of the saint. As I typed in the mana of St. Nicholas, I got more than that. I got mana, orms, ormus, and I really wanted to know what this ormus was. And I found subtleenergies.com first, and that's when it happened. It just grabbed me and never let go.
Excellent.
So, having been grabbed, what happened then?
Well, I immediately went out after I read the wet method process and bought all the supplies I needed and just went nuts. I got Dead Sea Salt. That's what I used first, Dead Sea Mineral. Went nuts. Stayed up for hours and hours and hours making the stuff. At the time, I didn't have a pH meter, so I didn't ingest any of the material. But I eventually got a pH meter and was doing it the correct way. You know, really, really watching the pH and make sure I had it right. And then I moved on to wanting to try other things like the dry method and that live burn that Joe Lello posted his article. And I've done that with some great results. I've performed it on red clay. I've performed it on volcanic rock that had been crushed to fine powder and black sands, and it worked really well. The only thing I had trouble with was the copper. But, yeah, after I got grabbed, I'm still grabbed by it. I'm constantly researching. I'm constantly trying to find new ways to get to the Ormus.
Seems to me that sometimes Ormus makes its way to us.
There you go.
Which would indicate, should I say this, that in fact Ormus is conscious, Ormus has personality, has proclivities and things that it likes and doesn't like, people it likes and doesn't like, and, it seems to be as much a part of finding us as we are finding it. Is that been your experience, Charles?
Yeah, I agree there. When I do actually extract these Ormus elements from various source material, I really ground myself out before I even step foot into my laboratory, before I even start the work, so I can be a clear and open channel. And so I can create a link or a connection with the source material or the Ormus, the Ormus that's in the source material. I do feel a communication going on there. I feel that observer effect taking place. The more attention I give to the source material, to focus on it, to connect with the Ormus or the Ormus within it, I feel it start to work on me way before it even comes out of the source material. So, yeah.
You just said a really valuable thing. So I'd like you to please spell out how, if you will, what you said, ground yourself out. We'll just translate that into English, would you, buddy?
Okay. There are many different grounding techniques, but the way I ground myself out is I got back to one of my oak trees, and I will stand next to it barefoot on the bare soil, and I'll put my hands on the tree. I'll breathe in, breathe out. I'll breathe, pulling in the chi or the energy, letting it go, clearing myself of anything that could be in the way of this flow, of the knowledge coming in or the energy flowing through my body. When I feel banded feeling start to happen within, it's this, try to put it in words for you. It's a feeling that nothing else matters. Nothing in the world could bother you. It is a very beautiful, peaceful, in the now feeling. And you feel pretty, pretty good and stuck on the earth, under your feet. There's a substantial feeling.
Thank you for saying that, because I've been raving about that, the importance of that kind of earthing, that kind of grounding connection for years now, and you have described it very sweetly indeed. Thank you for that. There's extraordinary value in getting really connected and earthed, barefoot on the ground, connected to nature. Especially useful if the ground is wet and you get full conduction of your electrical field to the Earth's electrical field. So, Charles, tell us, once you're in your laboratory, what is it, as best you can describe in words, because, I know it's just almost indescribable, that you're trying to get as an effect from making Ormus?
Me, personally, what I'm trying to get as an effect of making Ormus is greater spiritual expansion. I want to break the illusion of separation. I still see it because that's how I was trained. I mean, we're programmed from the day we're born. Even before we're born, we still get that information fed into our energy bodies. When we're in the womb, we're being programmed like that, At the moment of conception, we are given a signature. At the moment that we come out, we're given a signature. And so we're being programmed from that point on. So what I want to do for myself and what I'm trying to actually get to is breaking this illusion of everything being separate, really flowing with everything being connected. And the Ormus has helped me greatly come to understand that, but I still have my moments.
Thank you for that. One of my most persistent realizations that's been piping itself up in my consciousness is that Ormus is a superconductor. And it superconducts consciousness above everything else. And what you've just described is exactly that, where there is no separation between this and that, me and them, us and them, that this one sweetly described ground of being enables inseparability. So that's nice. That's great. Thank you, buddy. How did you connect with John Hudson? I mean, what was your entryway to him?
Well, actually, the entryway to John Hudson was by way of the Ormus Forum. I mean, I saw him on there, and I couldn't tell you because, I've seen other products offered on the forum before. At the time, my wife had been diagnosed with cancer, and what I wanted to do was see if I could try something different on her, Let's try some of this. Let's see what happens. And I didn't really know a lot about John Hudson other than he had the New Tech Energies website, and he was offering a pure white powder that he extracts from alkaline desert sand. And so I actually contacted him, and he told me I can call him. I told him what the problem was. He sent enough for both my wife and myself, and we started from there. And I just want to mention something. You know, he didn't really mention the dosage to take, but my wife instinctively took a very small amount. But he did tell me to take one full tablespoon of the stuff, okay? And I took it, and it was a huge rush for me. And I'll get into those details in a little bit. But anyway, after that one email, when he made the correction on the dosage for me, we started talking almost every day for up to 3-4 hours on the telephone. Sometimes it was less than that, but we talked and talked, and he shared a lot of things with me, and that's how it started.
Yeah, I stopped calling John after a while unless I had a spare 4 or 5 hours on the call to talk, because, man, he would talk until about 4 o'clock in the morning his time.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, when does this man ever sleep? Of course, you know, he died probably falling asleep at the wheel of his car.
Hmm.
What's that, mate?
Either that or Facebook got him.
Yeah. So, what convinced John, do you think, to start opening up to you as to how he created his remarkable product?
Well, what happened was a dog came walking through my yard. It was a blue tick hound, and it was very beautiful. I actually called him. This was before he actually taught me the process for extracting the white powder. And, I called him and told him. It was pretty late, too, his time. And I told him the dog had mange, and he told me what to do. He gave me a 11-digit number frequency for Brown's gas that he doused. And he told me to project this frequency into the water and put it on the dog, and I did, and I got some great results. And it was after that that he was trying to teach me how to douse. He actually put me to the test, and I asked him, you know, about the process. And he said, well, I can't tell you now because I have business partners, but I can tell you this is very simple, and it's so simple you wouldn't believe it. I'd be out of a job if everyone knew it. Eventually he opened up a little more and said, well, take this list of acids and you douse them out and tell me what you get for the leach solution. And then I got hydrochloric acid, and he said, correct. And then had a hard time with the catalyst, the acid to use as a catalyst. And he helped me out with that one, so we figured that out. And then he taught me the actual process. And it was on a small scale because, you know, I just wanted to do it for my wife. And just in case anything ever happened to John, I wanted to have this information.
And so how long did it take before you were able to make some for yourself?
Well, I was talking to John for, it was probably not long after the conference call that he made in 2007 that I started actually making my own. July, I think it was the month of July. Yeah. And I was actually making my own. And, again, it was on a very small scale. But he advised me which source materials to work with. He told me what to look for in nature, but this is such a wet climate over here. It's rare to find a spot that's very alkaline. So he recommended that I get some pure limestone or dolomite and work on that. Or he could arrange to get me some desert sands that he uses. But anyway, I got some pretty good results from the small scale process that he did teach me.
Now, dolomite, what Dorian said is one of the best sources as well. In the last call,
right? And that's dolomite is actually the first material I processed, and I got an identical powder to what John was putting out when he first started putting the powder out. And I don't know if anyone on the call has received a large amount of his powder, but over the months as they progressed, the powder got different. It went from a very heavy, heavy powder that would hardly dissolve in water. It seemed almost waterproof, to a finer, lighter, fluffier, more flaky sort of powder if you looked close at it. First it was needle-like structures, and then it changed. And it looked more flaky, like little sheets
of
glass.
Using the same sources and the same methods, it changed.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
What do you think that is?
Well, I think that, well, I've been experimenting with the process, and I think that he upped it on the catalyst. When you use more of the sulfuric acid, you get a finer powder. You get a more, and if you go with a very slow evaporation, you're going to get a more flaky, finer flaky, lighter, fluffier powder. Now, if you do a rapid evaporation, you're going to get a heavier, more needle-like structure in the powder. And really, if you look at it, if you separate the powder, it's colorless. You know, when you really look at it, but because it's all bunched together, it appears to be white.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so.
What did you notice when you were taking it, and your wife? What did the two of you notice when you were taking it?
Okay, here we go. When I first started, when John told me to take a tablespoon of the powder,
uh-huh.
I did. And it was very uncomfortable because it was a large, that's a heaping tablespoon of this powder. It's heavy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Well, immediately it felt like I had taken a niacin pill. And at that time, I had never taken a niacin pill. I took one maybe a few months ago, and it was like a rush of heat through the body. So that reminded me of how I felt when I first took that white powder of John's.
Wow.
And what I had to do is I had to walk all over the yard. I took the shoes off. I walked to get this feeling out. Started to feel jittery and a little paranoid. Because I'd never felt anything like that before. And so, you know, that's a negative side effect for myself. But after he wrote me back, actually after I had that bad, what I consider a bad reaction, and you know, I got on the, on Google to email John to ask him what's going on, and he had just sent me an email, and he, it said, oh, I'm sorry, not a tablespoon, an eighth of a teaspoon. And I called him up, and I was like, wait a minute. Why'd you say that? He was like, it was my mistake. I don't know why I said that. And he said, I bet you sure did get a jolt. And he was laughing about it. It was a funny thing. my wife, there was a cancerous growth in her lung. Okay, a little tumor. And then she had sort of has a heart condition called Wolff-Parkinson's-White syndrome. And what that is it has to do with the electrical components of the heart, you know. She could be sitting there doing absolutely nothing, and her heart rate will go up past 300 beats per minute. And it'll sustain that sometimes for 20 minutes. She started taking the powder, those things just stopped, okay.
Wow.
Her energy levels picked up, and she was thinking quicker, you know, like her wits were quicker. You know, she was able to think, and her logic was coming back, and everything was just falling into place like that. And it's done the same thing for my memory, for my thinking. My memory is a lot better. I have more energy than I've ever had. I practice Qigong all the time. I do standing meditation, and I really don't need that much sleep, but since I've been taking this powder, and it's not just the white powder. Okay, I've taken other Ormus products.
Uh-huh.
It's I'm taking Don Dance's White Dove and, you know, Thomas's Water and other products, but it seems that it gives me more energy overall, and this energy is not something you can compare to, let's say, the energy you get from coffee or any kind of caffeine. Mm-hmm. This is a different kind of energy. It's an energy that you become consciously aware of. Where it is, it's all around you. It's at your disposal. You ride on it. It doesn't leave you, you know?
Wow.
And so as a result of that way of thinking and that realization, I can stay up for days and days, you know? I'm faster physically.
Yeah, me too.
Physically, I'm faster. For example, when I was in my teens, I used to be able to throw about 80 punches in 15 seconds. Now I could throw around 100 punches in 10 seconds.
Wow.
And I walk very briskly. Yeah. And I walk, and it feels very easy.
Remind me not to pick a fight with you.
Hey, I'm very peaceful and nonviolent. Listen, another positive thing for me is I had a fear of spiders, and this is kind of strange because I just got bit by a spider about 5 days ago, a brown recluse, and I'm not afraid of spiders anymore. As a matter of fact, the bite was very nasty looking, but and Dennis helped me actually on the phone relieve the pain, by the way, with that shower of power exercise. Oh. And anyway, it's taken a lot of my fears away. It's opened me up, and in some ways I just really can't explain to the guests on this call, you know, the listeners.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. One thing I'm finding constantly is that almost is tapping myself and people around me into levels of life experience that are impossible to describe. You just got to be there.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. life experiences, synchronicities, things happening. Like for instance, last night, this is how it's been working in my life since I've been taking the Ormus and extracting the Ormus. It's I'm always in the right place at the right time. Okay. Last night, I decided to take a drive to the mountains at night to look at the skies. See a car off the embankment there. A nice Acura. It looked like it had ran off the road.
Wow.
I passed it, and all of a sudden I felt this tug within myself, the same thing I feel when I have to be somewhere. So I go back, and there's a guy pinned in the car, and we call the EMS to help, and we have him saved. So
wow.
It's those things. A lot of these things happen as a result of taking these things. Very, very positive things. Now, on another note, you better be thinking good thoughts when you take this stuff, because if you don't, and this is in my experience as well, because you cause an avalanche to happen in your life. You know, it is an amplifier of the feelings and the thoughts and the emotions.
Can you give us an example?
Oh, yes, definitely.
Cool.
Definitely. My spider bite, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
Well, 2 weeks ago, I was talking about spider bites. I was talking to this guy about brown recluse. I was talking to him about the black widow. And I said, you know, I would hate to be bitten by a brown recluse. I would hate that. I put so much emotion, so much conviction into saying that.
Uh-huh.
And you know something? I was telling him, you know, how, can you imagine eating your flesh away? And I was really getting into it. And I let that go, and I stopped thinking about it. Well, guess what? I get bitten.
I swear, I was standing at a Sonic with Charles not a week ago, and a black widow spider walked across the parking lot at us.
It sure did. It sure did. Thomas took a piece of a tissue paper and helped it into the bush.
Well, now, what happened with the bite when you got bit?
Okay, well, I noticed there was a red, you know, after the bite, I did see a redness appear. And then it festered. It got really bad. And I just want to say this for anybody ever going through pain, you might want to try this. But it was very painful because when it starts to swell and the fluids start to build up, that's where the pain starts, from the inflammation.
Uh-huh.
I decided to go and within myself and sit within that pain. I call it sitting in the seat of pain because pain seems to be a foreign thing if you're feeling good all the time. So what I did was although it looked really bad, festered, you know, very bad, I sat in the pain, and when I did that, I felt that pain kind of expand. I felt it go and radiate out past the skin, but then it disappeared. And once that happened, it started draining all on its own.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, you go ahead.
Wow.
Yes, and it was like my 14-year-old daughter was standing there, and she was like, "You look like a light bulb. What happened?" I was like, "Well, the pressure's going down. It's draining. Let's go outside." And we were kicking the ball around, running around the yard. As a matter of fact, tonight at 9 o'clock, I have to go run a 5K. Okay? I'm doing it with this. There's no pain.
Now, have you done that before?
Sitting in the pains?
No, running.
Oh, yes. I've never ran a 5K before. When I was a teenager, I used to run 16 miles a day, but I quit running. You know, I just got out of it. But, you know, I'm going to run it. This is going to be my first 5K. It's only a little over 3 miles. It would be nothing. You know, it's a pretty easy course. My twin brother, he runs. He's an avid runner, and he's conditioned for it. But he has taken the powder as well, and that seems to have boosted his endurance. I mean, the guy can run and run and run. When he stops, he's not huffing and puffing. He's just standing there.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know.
Yeah, I've noticed that, too. Any more about that? That is really interesting to me, because I've noticed that, you know, I sit around watching my computer all day, you know.
Uh-huh.
And lately, I've been hiking around the mountains a little bit and mowing lawns and stuff like that. And I should get tired, but I don't. It seems to have boosted that endurance. You've noticed some things in what regard?
Well, my endurance is definitely gone up. Like I mentioned earlier, I practice a standing meditation set, which is designed to strengthen the entire physical body. It's for building the chi, or the energy, and learning how to convert that energy into what the Chinese call jing, or force. It's not the jing, the essence of jing, but what you are nourishing that, but we're talking about the force here. And then you really get strong legs because you have to work up to, well, you don't have to, but I was so hardcore with it. I worked up for 2.5 hours standing still in one spot. But taking the Orbis, I can stay up for days. I treat 2 days.
Now, John talked a lot to me about various athletes that were taking his white powder and getting extraordinary results, including one guy who was a member of the LA police force who was in his 50s or something, and it was just, he had the physical stamina of someone 20 years younger than him.
Yes, yes.
I imagine he would have talked to you about that.
Oh, he did. He told me about the fellow. He's a DEA agent. And he mentioned that he has incredible endurance, that it's hard for even some animals to keep up with this guy. What I think happens is it expands your focus. Well, put it this way. A focal point is fine and pinpoint, okay? But it actually makes your focus flexible. And what I mean by that is it can extend far and wide but still be focused, still be a focal point. When you can focus far ahead, I mean way down the road, you don't worry about what your body's doing. You don't create these thoughts that block the energy flow that sustains you. And so you can ride on the energy. It'll carry you to your destination. And I think the Ormus helps that because it helps facilitate that communication inside, you know, all over the body, outside the body.
Well, that's pretty neat. That's pretty neat. You know, it's fascinating to have someone with a martial arts and energy awareness background in the Ormus community, because I've been talking about this stuff. I do a Qigong exercise myself.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I made up a variation of it called the Shower of Power exercise, which I'll probably teach in Enota in September, and it's very powerful. I've been having the experience like you just described, Charles, of not needing much sleep. In fact, last night I probably got about 3 or 4 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I will go through the night and just forget to sleep, and suddenly the sun's up. I'm going, oh, I forgot. I mean, this is unthinkable and unprecedented in my life experience until I've had Ormus kicking sleep's butt like it does. I finally understood, you know, why John Hudson hardly ever used to sleep. So how long did it take for this effect to cut in with you?
Okay, it took a couple months. It took a couple months, but as far as the energy, the energy levels started maybe a week or two after I started ingesting the white powder. At the time, I was working at a factory. You know, I just wanted to try something new. It was a dye range where they take cotton, they take cloth, and they clean it, they bleach it, then they dye it and ship it out all over the world. And let me tell you, it was a hot son of a bitch in this place. It was always 120 degrees in that place, the ambient temperature, up to 120 degrees. And it would drain me. But when I started taking this powder, it seemed that the heat didn't affect me. it seemed like it would be flowing through me and not trapping in my body. Like my body can expel the heat quicker, you know. So I was able to, when people were passing out around me left and right, people were literally falling out on the floor. I was still standing at my machines,
wow.
You know. And it was a couple weeks after I started taking it, I noticed those energy levels. But then, maybe a couple months, I mean, I noticed the sleep thing. Just like you, Dennis, I remember one night I paid no mind to the time, and I was like, it looks a little different outside. I wonder what time it is. Then I realized it looks like it's getting sunlight. And I stayed up all night, you know, there it was.
Oh, yeah.
It happens regularly for me now.
Mm-hmm.
So why don't you tell us a little bit about the process and what do you think is the significant dynamic of that process? And what I'd be curious to hear is when you first feel the Ormus arriving in your process.
When you first see it arriving? Okay. Well, let me talk about the process in just a little bit from the beginning as I was taught the process. It's all done with the acid, two acids. It's an acid leach on desert sands, limestone, dolomite, mostly alkaline material, but I've used it on Johnson grass. That's John has used it on Johnson grass. Even told me in a joking manner, but he was serious at the same time, that he could extract it from a 2x4, you know? So,
oh, wow.
So the actual method is to take source material and put it in an acid leach. Now, it's important as to how much of the material you put into the leach. The way John taught me, he didn't teach me pH values, okay? He taught me to work by the gallon and how much acid to add to the gallon.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, I think John tried to explain it on his call, and I think there was someone asking how the process worked or basically what he did. What I think is happening when you mix the hydrochloric with the water and you put in the source material, of course, there's naturally occurring ormus in the soil. And I think that goes in the solution, in the acid solution, okay? I think it's being held there, you know? And, okay, the next step is after the leach, and the leach could take up to 2 days. It just depends. It depends on what you want your yield to come out to be in the end. And it just depends on the texture, how you want the texture of your powder. So the next step is to clarify the solution. But let me go back. When I set up to do the leach, I connect with it like this. The acid is dissolving the particles, the ormus, bringing it into the solution. Okay, it's pulling it in there. Well, I see it as a dissolving. So what I'll do is I'll sit there while this is happening. I'll stir, and I'll feel the connection. I'll suddenly feel things dissolving within myself. It could be a limiting belief. It could be some type of emotion that's going on inside, or you know, something that doesn't feel quite right. I'll use the acid, the actual leach process, to connect with me and help me to dissolve these inner blocks, okay? So the next step is, when I look at this leach solution, it's really murky, you know? I let it settle, but it's still cloudy, so I have to clarify it. I use a very simple method to clarify. I use a big funnel, a whole bunch of coffee filters, and tissue paper.
Uh-huh.
The tissue paper really helps to grab those particles, and I can filter a very cloudy solution with that setup and have it very clear. Thomas can vouch for that. But I use that process to just purify my intentions, to clarify for me, you know, what it is that I want. And that's how I get
to
that.
Isn't the liquid quite acid still at this point?
Oh, yes, it's below one at this point.
Isn't that going to dissolve the coffee filters and all the rest of it?
No, it does not. Actually, as a matter of fact, it doesn't even, no, because, I mean, it's a minimal filtering. I don't have to repeat it more than twice most of the time. You know, the everything stays intact. When you actually look at this clarified solution, you hold it up in the light, it will be green. But it's crystal clear. so very clear. It's beautiful. Sometimes I really don't even want to drop the powder out of it. I love the way that green color is, you know? So,
yeah.
All right. And, okay. Now, after you clarify the bleach solution, it's ready to be treated with the catalyst, which is sulfuric acid. You're going to add up to 20 milliliters of concentrated sulfuric acid to 1 gallon or a little over 3 liters of a bleach solution. And you're going to put that on a heat source. It can be, listen, you can use a hot plate. I put a little thin piece of steel, a sheet of steel over my hot plate if I use the hot plate. Or I'll use a gas flame, a Coleman stove to do it sometimes. But
do it outside.
Do what?
I do it outside.
Yes, do it outside.
Good idea.
Unless you have a good fume hood, really. I mean, you don't want to do this inside. You can't use a stovetop fume hood. That's not going to work. Won't work at all. So what you do is you actually evaporate it. You don't want to boil it. You really don't want to bring it to a really hard boil unless you want to speed it up. And if you're a first-timer and you want to see what you get out of it, you can do it that way. But if you take your time and exercise your patience and kind of connect with what you're doing, and then it'll take some time, but when that volume starts to reduce in that beaker, the powder will start to just drop out of it. And it drops out at the midpoint. Like, for instance, if you have 1,000 milliliters sitting there, it'll start dropping out from the point a little above 500 milliliters marked on the beaker. And if you look in the solution, you'll see that there are two or three different layers that have formed in there as a result of adding the sulfuric acid to the solution. And that little, it looks like a little empty space right there, like, how should I say, an empty space between the upper part and the lower part of the beaker. Right there in the middle of the solution, John used to refer to that. Sometimes he thought it was the connection to the zero point. Maybe it was another dimension that we're pulling powder from, you know? Maybe we're getting this stuff. Maybe it's coming from another dimension. Maybe we're pulling it from the air when we're putting these acids together, you know, and adding it to what was in the actual soil that we pulled it out of, you know?
Yeah.
So what I do is I connect that little line, and I will call it the zero point that connects to my zero point, and there's no difference between that and the one within me. And then when the powder starts to drop out, when it reaches that point, I start to feel this buzz, like a whole bunch of bees within my body. It's like a very electric, buzzy, zippy type thing starts happening inside. And I'm going to tell you, that's one of the reasons I continue to do this process, and I will never stop because that feeling is amazing. And
it feels good to do it. Wow, that's a great idea.
Yeah, and I wish that if any people on this call could connect with their process that way. I mean, if they do, if they feel this way, they know what I'm talking about. But it's an awesome, awesome thing. It's addictive.
It certainly is. I've got to testify about that. I've taken to doing this method over and over, as Charles taught me, and it is addictive. It's a wonderful process to witness, and it just makes me grin sitting there and watching it.
Wow.
One of the things that I've found is that any time that there's chemical change happening in any kind of system, including a biological system like you and me, that the substance that's supposedly inert becomes extremely susceptible to programming, to intention, to thought, to words, like I said, to programming. And so consequently, I program my almost within an inch of its life. In other words, man, I get right to telling it what its properties are, and it goes, yes, sir! Which is one of the reasons why I get the most amazing, outrageous results reported to me on a daily basis, because the Ormus is just delivering what I tell it to. Sorry, that was just a bit of an unexpected rave here. But the point is that I'm totally on the same page, Charles, and I can hear your discernment of energy coming through from your martial arts background. I can hear your appreciation of chi and your recognition of how to generate that quickly and effectively coming through in your languaging, which most people don't have the luxury of being able to have as a background foundational understanding in their lives. And it's good to have you as a guest and to convey that through to the people who haven't had that experience,
mm-hmm.
which is very sweet and neat. Now you've done the leech, and then you've done the clarification. What's the next step?
The next step is to add the catalyst. You take the you can do it two different ways or more. It depends on the size of your vessels. Let's say you're working with 1 liter beakers. You can use 1 liter at a time, and to each liter you're going to add maybe 2.5-3 milliliters of sulfuric acid per liter of water. Maybe more, depends. I mean, you can add. We usually leave that up to the person to decide how much acid, how much of the sulfuric you want to add to the leach. And let me tell you, I don't know all the answers as to what is going on totally, but I think that John was pretty much hitting on something when you talked about the zero point. When you add that catalyst, really, it will. If you add too much of it, more than, let's say, 50 milliliters or more to the gallon, it'll start to snow in that vessel. You'll see it. It'll start to fall like snow. But you'll see where it forms. It forms at that midpoint. It doesn't start at the top and go down.
Huh.
That's the interesting thing. And John did also tell me this about the sulfuric acid. He said it loves to pull water. It really pulls water hard. And then he told me that those two acids are sort of kind of polar opposite. And he said when you mix those acids, when you have dissolved solids in the leach solution, and you add that catalyst to it, that sulfuric, it'll pull that water hard. It'll create an opening, and it'll start to form those subatomic particles, as he called them, and they will actually start to flock toward the salt structure that's formed by the mixing of the two acids. But when you perform the wash, you do away with the salts, you know, and then you leave the pure white powder, okay? So that step is to add the catalyst, which is a sulfuric acid, okay? And after you get your powder dropped out after evaporation, you wash it. John recommended, and this is what I do. I've tried it with regular room temperature water. I lose a lot in the wash. But we do it with ice cold water. We wash it with very ice cold water because it helps it to, number one, settle faster, and you lose less of the powder. But then after washing, you have to wash it up to 5 to 6 times, depending. I mean, there are salts that are formed.
Mm-hmm.
Once you wash it 5 or 6 times, the stuff is almost tasteless.
There's
a slight taste to it, but almost tasteless. Yeah, here's some static there.
What do you mean, wash it more than once? Would you describe that process?
Just a second.
Yeah, the washing
process. But everyone make sure you're muted. We're getting some noise.
Yes, hit *6 to mute yourself, please. Go ahead, Charles.
Okay, this is the washing process. What you do is when the powder starts to drop out in the acid solution, which is really an amazing thing because it's like the dissolved solids dropping out in a really acid environment. It's funny. Anyway, you take this and you let that powder settle to the bottom of the beaker. You pour off that top water. You can siphon it off, but I really recommend having a graduated beaker and pouring it off into another container,
mm-hmm.
because there's still more powder in that solution ready to come out. You don't throw that first top water, that acid away. I'll process that. I'll get more. I'll just add enough until I have enough to evaporate. I like to do at the minimum 1 liter at a time and a max of 3 liters to evaporate at a time. But so when you have this acid poured off the powder, it'll be all down in the bottom of the beaker, just compressed down in there. All you do, you can leave it in that or transfer it to another container. You can use a tall blender, cylindrical glass or whatever you want to use, but I just leave it in the beaker. It could be a 3-liter beaker, could be a 1-liter beaker, depends. So you pour all the way to the 1 liter mark if you're in a 1 liter beaker, ice cold water. It will settle in a matter of minutes. It'll settle to the bottom in a matter of minutes. Pour that off. And you repeat that process. And on maybe the fourth or fifth washing, you can fill it up to the 500 milliliter mark. Pour that off, and you're pretty much salt-free. So that's how the washing of this material goes. And then the next step is the actual drying process. Now, I either sun-dry this material. I have a little box. Well, it's not really little, but anyway, it has plexiglass as a front and as a top. And there are holes drilled in it so things can go out. And I have it. I have the holes situated where things just can't fall in, you know. So what I'll do is I'll set that in the sun, and it dries super fast. If you put it in the oven and close the door, it's going to take a very long time. What I'll do is take a really, really huge casserole, Pyrex dish, and put the powder in there, put it in the oven, shut the oven, and I put it on maybe 175, maybe less. Let it dry. And you don't want to overdo it with the heat. Or, again, I prefer sun-drying it, but here lately I can't sun-dry any powder because of the rain that we've had. But I've just figured out not long ago that if I leave the oven door open with the oven on and let some oxygen circulate through there, it dries a lot quicker.
Now, do you feel that the UV light or the electromagnetic radiation from the heating coils in the oven affect the outcome at all?
Well, me personally, I don't feel like it does. There could be something happening there, but you know, I haven't felt a difference in the strength of the product and people who've taken it, you know, before, and now they're trying it out again. They're not saying it's any different. They're actually saying it's a lot stronger.
You think it's energizing it a bit, but not over-energizing it.
That could be the case because, like I mentioned before, you just want to bring it to a point where you just dry it. You don't want to overheat it. And maybe if you start to overheat the powder, maybe it starts to break it down and things, it starts to blow off those particles, you know? But I think if you just dry it,
uh-huh,
and then leave it at that, and store it in the proper container. And well, what I do is I put it in HDPE containers or glass, you know, store it that way. Anyway, once you wash it, everything's washed up nice, and get a little pinch, test it that way, and it's ready. It's ready to go.
I was at this meeting, and someone had a bit of John's powder and felt a little bit of a buzz off it, and then I gave him some of your powder, and it's like your powder's got personality, and I know that Ormus captures the personality of the maker, and this guy that I was talking about hadn't tried any other Ormus beside mine, and he goes, this is interesting stuff, and I know that Ormus captures evolution of the maker.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you apply these, what I call the non-physical ingredients, to your powder, Charles?
Well, it all, and I'll tell you, and I'll tell you how I do it. I'll tell you why I do it. Let me start with the why. I do it because I want to heal people. I want to help people facilitate a healing within, you know. I want to help people stay healthy. I want to help people you know, feel the expansion. I want them to feel good. I want this world to feel good. When I was young, I was about 6, came from Miami up to South Carolina, and never seen snow before because, you know, it doesn't snow in Miami. Went to the mountains, ate an icicle, got a parasite. Doctors thought, well, months went by, I was still here. Started getting really sick, losing weight. I looked like one of those malnourished kids you see on TV. I was really bad looking. They thought I had leukemia, started treating me for leukemia. Don't know why, it's just a very strange thing. Anyway, I don't want to drag the story on, but I was misdiagnosed. I was treated for leukemia. My older brother steps in, tells the doctors to check for parasites, and they did, and that's what it was. And I eventually got back on track to practicing my martial arts and all those good things, and I started thinking about the health of other people at a young age. Okay, now, as a result of that, I stuck with the martial arts. I got heavily involved into the meditative aspects, the chi development of the internal arts, what you can do with the energy, you know? And so I learned energy healing. I learned a set called Wai Chi Liao Fa, which means external chi for healing. And it's a standing set as well. But you play with the energy. You learn how to shape it with your thoughts, and that's what we're doing. We take our thoughts and we shape. And, well, I teach my students, I say, shape the energy. But you're really programming the energy to do what you want it to do. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I do. I actually project energy into my powder, and into the powder that I make. I start, even during the leach, I'll project force into the solution at the same time it's dissolving any kind of things within my body. I'll project force into the solution and help speed up the breakdown of those particles. And then, and so it sort of it quickens the process. And I do that all throughout. So when I get the final product, I have a shofar, which is a ram's horn, and I always clear the air with it. I'll sound it off three times, clear the air. And when you blow a shofar and you hear that sound, you're not thinking of anything at that moment. And that's a perfect opening. It's in between the gap where you can shoot an intention, bam, super fast. It's an instantaneous thing, and it goes right into the powder. Always feel uplifted. Always feel peaceful when you do it. So I always project love, peace, expansion, health, everything positive into that powder, you know? A painkiller. I make it a painkiller, too. So that's what I do. But I do it with my mind, you know. Like I said, I sound the shofar. I do it that way, and then I spend time actually projecting energy consciously at it. I'll point the energy, guide it through my fingers from a distance at the powder when it's in the container, and just see it. You know, there's particle flow information going on in our energy bodies, you know, all around us. So that Ormus is taking that information, and it's storing it there. It has it. And then it gives me something in return, which is more information. And then in return, I give it more information. And it just starts to build up and build up, and then I feel like I have to explode, and that's when I have to stop. And then I go outside and ground
that's
out.
That's what I call the upward spiral of consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
Like, hey, it gives back to you.
Could we take some questions?
Yeah.
Like from
yes,
the free room?
Do.
Anyone in the free room have
any questions from the free room before you guys get bailed out?
Hello?
Going once, going twice.
Go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. How did your wife do with the cancer?
Well, actually the tumor. It's very small. It's still there. It hasn't grown any, you know? And I've been working on a couple things on the side, having some intuitive hits on what I can possibly do. She just doesn't want to take any type of radiation therapy. But it has stayed the same size.
Uh-huh. Well, it may be, there may not be any more cancer. It could be just scar tissue at this point, possibly.
Hey, that's a good thought. That's a very positive thought as well.
Yeah, because sometimes, I mean, the cancer is killed, but the tumor remains.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Any other questions from the free room? Comments?
Could you talk about your 3.5-week fast with this Ormus?
Oh yeah, I mean I could talk about it if you want me to. I'll explain. I'm going to tell you now. I'm not trying to recommend this at all. I started a fast without even planning on doing it, and that's pretty much what happened to me. You know, just like we forget to go to sleep, it happened to be that I forgot to eat. I actually felt like I really didn't want to eat anything this one day, and I just started relaxing and going about my day as usual. I'll go teach a couple classes and go take a walk in the park. So anyway, now, this is not what I would call a hardcore fast because I was drinking fruit and vegetable juices. I make my own juice, you know, with a little juice machine. And so I was carrying on with that practice during the time of not eating solid foods. So I wouldn't call this a full-fledged fast. You know, people just drink a little water throughout the day or whatever. So anyway, on the third day of this little excursion, I felt like I could eat something, so I went to the Earth Fair, which is a store where they sell organics and stuff like that. And I needed to buy some food for the house, and I found myself not really interested in buying anything. You know, I was wondering, why don't I want to buy the things I normally get? But then I went ahead and bought more fresh fruits and veggies anyway, you know. I wanted other things, you know, but I didn't at the same time. So, anyway, every day was interesting, every day. So let me get into the second week of this thing, because this is when things got a little weird for me. And it wasn't physical feelings, because I was fine. I was drinking plenty of water, plenty of juice, you know, the vegetable and the fruit juice. But on the second week, I found myself kind of irritated going out in public. You know, I noticed when I'm going to the store to get more distilled water and the spring water, I could really see into the people around me. I could sometimes tell, you know, what they were up to. You know what I mean? Like where they've been and what brought them up to this point.
Oh, wow.
In life, you know? And that made me feel kind of strange there, okay? That was kind of a strange thing. And then I noticed this haze of energy around the faces of all these people. But then there are tracer type of activities going on around people. And they weren't colorful tracers. They looked like empty voids moving around, like just empty spaces, like darkness, shooting around people. And that was really weird. So anyway, well into the third week, I decided to go to this beautiful park we have here, and that's where I teach one of my Tai Chi classes. And the people there, I started getting this nervousness, this jittery feeling, the closer I got to these crowds of people. Then when I'd get away from them, it went away. So I started to feel like I was vibrating with these people, and I started feeling some of the negative junk they have within themselves. And so I decided, hey, I'm not going back out in public until I decide to eat again. And the day I decided to eat, I paid for it, but it was when I went down to see Thomas, and that was about a month later.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. But I did see some strange things. I saw, like I've never seen before, energy patterns around people. I saw, when I read books about auras, I wanted to see auras before. And sometimes I would think it's a bunch of baloney, but now I see that it's not. I experienced that firsthand. And it was quite interesting. And all the colors I saw were not really bright. They were murky looking. They're color, but murky. Yeah.
Well, that's cool. Any other questions? You'll have to hit star 7 if you want to ask questions, by the way.
Yeah, we hear you talking to yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's very cool. So basically, you've been exploring big time some of the more rarefied aspects of consciousness, mate. And you've been making that evolution that you've been doing available to others through your powder. This is the fundamental presupposition of almost alchemy and being a physical magician, just in case you didn't know that that's what you are. You knew that, right?
Well, now I know.
Yeah.
I want to add something to that. I do want to add something to that. You're right. Like, you give the people what you've created within yourself in your product, in the powder, for instance, you know, whether it's wet or dry, you give it to that person, and it helps to quicken their evolution. Like, for instance, when I'm distilling the alcohol from wine to do spagyrics, I have some philosophical alcohol that I put through 7 circulations, and it's almost absolute alcohol. I'll add one drop to the wine that I'm going to distill, and it helps speed up the process big time. So it cuts the time down, way down, for the distillation of this alcohol. You know, so you put an alcohol with a higher vibration into a lower vibration, mm-hmm. It'll beat it up. So I think our products do that for people.
Have you ever Have you ever added any of the powder when making wine or making alcohol?
I've never done that, but I've read recently on the forum about that, and I think I'm going to try it. But let me tell you what I did. I took some of John's powder and added it to some dew that I collected. Uh-huh. And I didn't collect it off the grass. I collected it with frozen 3-liter plastic bottles.
Oh, yeah.
And I had a whole bunch of them, too. And so I got a whole bunch of dew. And I decided to perform a circulation over the stuff, you know. Uh-huh. And it just kept repeating it until all the powder was dissolved in the dew.
Wow.
And it turned out to be some very powerful stuff. So if anybody out there has a distillation set up, get some powder, any ormus, and mix it with the dew and distill and circulate it.
And what are you left with, a powder or a
liquid? No, you're left with a liquid. And the liquid will be clear. When you distill it so many times, it'll dissolve that powder into the heat. It'll just go right into the dew. But when you evaporate it, you'll have a whole bunch of powder, very brilliant, beautiful, shiny crystals. Anyway, stuff's really powerful, and I really don't take it. I took 10 drops under my tongue, and I felt a tight band of contraction through the middle, the middle of my body. It felt like the thrusting channel in my body was just twisting, you know? Like from the perineum up, just felt like there was a twist happening. It felt like it was weird. It was kind of painful. So
uh-huh.
I don't know. I'm not gonna. I still have some of the stuff, but I'm not gonna take it.
What about taking one drop instead of 10?
Well, I don't know. It's still. I'm standing away from looking at it right now. You know, I'm like.
I'm just kidding.
You know, I might try a drop one day, but those 10 drops, I mean, that's just kind of like, I don't want to take a chance. I mean, it's very powerful stuff, and if I felt that twist on my central or thrusting channel, you know, starting at the perineum, that's where you draw your yin energy into.
Uh-huh.
You connect that with your lower dan qian, and that's where you create that spark for this energy to be emitted from the body. But I don't know. It's kind of weird. I might try it.
most of the time, I notice something the first time I do something,
mm-hmm.
but not the second time.
Okay.
Should take it to Thomas's.
Yeah, bring some to Thomas's. Yeah, that's a good idea.
What a great idea.
Hello? I'd like to know, do you sell your white powder and where I can buy it?
Hello?
Hello?
Hey, what was
it's
question
if you're selling your powder and how she can buy some.
Yes, thank you.
Yes, you can go to CherokeeGold.net, click on products. Scroll down, and it'll be there on the page.
Okay, great. Thank you.
How much you sell it for, Charles?
$60, 10 grams. We put a little more than 10 grams in there, though. I mean, it's not going to be just 10 grams. 10 grams is the minimum for that price, but we'll add a lot more.
And what do you recommend the dosage?
Well, in my personal experience, and this is for me, a male, less than an eighth of a teaspoon. I mean, I just take a little pinch under my tongue, and it's done. It's over. That's all I need. The same with all my friends, my family members, the professors at the two universities that I frequent, and other places, other people, people who have had strokes that took my stuff, less than an eighth of a teaspoon.
I would agree. The label says 1/16 to 1/8 teaspoon once in the morning on rising, and to increase or decrease as desired, but no more than a teaspoon.
Mm-hmm.
And I wouldn't take it after 6 p.m. because it can, as they say, affect your sleeping patterns. And although it's not on the label, it demands real integrity. It seems to talk a little bit about that, Charles.
Well,
the integrity vibration.
We'll see. It helps to tie things in together, you know. Like, for instance, physically, I think that it works to, like, let's say the left side of your body is weak and the right side is strong. Well, what's going to happen is it's going to cause your left and your right body to sort of equalize, you know, through this communication. So you're going to get a strength that'll start happening to balance your body out, you know, just like water seeks its own level. in your mind, it also works that way with your mind. And that's why you want to stay on the positive side. But once you do, you know, it's gonna balance things out, your ways of thinking, how if you do things in excess, then you're going to find yourself not able to do those things, you know, like if you're unfocused. See, because if you take this stuff on a consistent basis, it's going to teach you to be still, and it's going to give you what's been put into it, you know, however it's been programmed. There you go.
I've got a question.
Go ahead.
You were talking about while you were doing that fast that you were able to see people's energy fields. Was that a lasting effect, or did that just diminish once you went back to solid food?
Well, actually, it's not colorful. I don't know if you've ever seen this before, but if you watch a person walk by a light background, it can be a dark background, but a white wall, and you kind of, when they're walking by, you're kind of gazing above their head, and you see this presence above their head.
Yeah.
That's what I see, but I see it more in a more defined way. I really see it. I mean, I see it now. But the trick is, when you look at that person, you know, or when I look at people now, it's sort of like I'm in the universe, the universe is in me, you know, or I'm the universe is me, we're together. And then I feel, because I can see that, if I'm allowed to see that thing around that body, that connector to everything, then I know what's in it. So I can pretty much tell what's going on with that person. Hmm. You know.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I'm going to take, this moment to announce the winners on the raffle. Paul, you're one of the winners. I don't think Phil New Zealand is on the call, but Phil is also a winner, as is Mike in Montana.
Phil in New Zealand. Hey, he's going to be thrilled, stoked.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Harry, was that Paul and IB or one of the other Pauls?
Paul and IB.
Yay. Happy birthday, Harry. Happy 60th.
Oh, yeah, thank you.
This is Howard with Paul.
Oh, good.
God bless you.
Well, thank you.
Welcome.
Not quite, but real close.
Yeah, on the 25th.
25th.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's like soon.
It is.
And what just got won was some of Charles's powder and Thomas's water.
Oh, cool.
They make for a phenomenal combination. Which is something that Thomas discovered when he was in communication with John Hudson, and John Hudson was sending him some powder and wanting some of his water, and they both discovered that it had a synergetic effect with each other.
Yeah, we had a simultaneous out-of-body experience.
Hey, Thomas, you recently mentioned that you've seen some age reversal effects or age slowing effects.
Well,
could you say something about that?
It's well.
Do you think that's related to taking the powder in addition to the water?
It certainly has increased my energy level. But I just turned 60. But my hair is. Well, I just posted on one of the alternative lists. Said, you know, I still have my hair, it's still there, and it's natural color, and my gum disease, which I was requiring yearly laser surgery, and for those who are unfamiliar, root scaling, which is like they stick this probe down to your toes.
Uh-huh.
And it was an awful experience, and I, as a periodontist, and now my gum disease is gone, not just better, but it's gone completely. And I think it's because of I brush my teeth with this Ormus powder and
really?
And essential oil and I'm using essential microorganisms as well. Vinny Pinto talked a lot about those on his call, but I think that you know it's Mother Nature has been concentrating and metabolizing these substances for millennia.
Right.
And these organisms know how to do it, and I think that it really facilitates the whole process and certainly the absorption process. And it's a lot, I find it a lot more pleasant to take kefir with a lot of active cultures, probiotic cultures in it. And it's almost identical to what the SDD supplement that you can buy, that Vinny recommended. So it's I had chronic knee pain. I don't anymore. I used to take. I was on the verge of taking antidepressants and started taking them, but had a reaction, and I can't imagine what point I was at that point. So it's really helped a lot, but in terms of euthanizing, well,
more like just slowing
down. I think
down.
The family would agree that I act like a child.
Well, there you go then.
Hey, can I butt in a little bit?
Yes, please.
Okay, Mary. Mary and Dennis and the rest of the folks on the call. I have a twin brother, and Thomas has met him. And Barry, by the way, I'm working on he's got the pictures and everything, and have the write-up, but we've just been pretty busy. But I want Barry to post, if you will, once I send it to him and he approves it, some before and after photos of my twin. I put him on a program with the powder, and what he did was he was 200. I was always the smaller twin, but he put on he got up to 220 pounds, and
wow.
He saw a photograph of himself, and he said, well, you know, screw this, I'm not going to be like this anymore. And he decided to cut his portion. So he was sitting one day thinking, you know, why did they do the lap band procedure? Well, to make the stomach smaller, to force people into eating smaller portions. He said, well, I don't need a lap band to do that. I can do that on my own. So he started eating the smaller portions, started walking every day. And I put him on a regimen of taking the powder and doing certain visualizations to convince himself that he's actually reversing an age instead of going forward, you know, like with the clock, with time, with that thing called time.
Uh-huh.
And as a result, he does, I mean, all the people from 15 years ago that we've known, they can't believe it. They say he looks 15 years younger. And
wow.
You know, I have the, like I said, I have the pictures, I have everything. I'm still working on getting this put together. But he hasn't been applying it to his skin or anything. He's just been ingesting the powder. And really, like an eighth of a, or a little less than an eighth of a teaspoon daily. And it has helped him with his runs. He does 5Ks, 10Ks. He does free running, which is amazing stuff now. And I would have never thought he would do anything like that because it's very acrobatic, but he does it. I mean, he's been doing all these things. And I think the Ormus has been responsible for some of it, at least, the change in his diet. He doesn't always eat healthy foods. I mean, if he goes to a fast food place, he'll eat half of a small cheeseburger and no fries. You know, he'll take the bread off and eat the meat.
Uh-huh.
You know, he just watches it, but I mean, he pretty much eats anything he wants, but very small portions, palm-sized portions, and cut out the sugar. Sugar is the white killer, and you know, he cut all that stuff out, and he's looking really, really good.
Oh wow, good. Well, I'll look forward to those pictures. That sounds outstanding. And mm-hmm. You actually took some deliberate before pictures.
Yeah, we actually did because I wanted. Okay, I have a teacher, and he's in his late 60s, and the guy looks like he's 30 years old. His skin looks like porcelain.
He's not talking about me, by the way.
Hey, Thomas, you're looking better and better every time I see you, though. So that's a good thing. But this guy, his name is Richard Mooney. He's amazing. I asked him, I was like, well, what's the secret? We met down in Dalton, Georgia to do a video shoot for some pressure point, some dim mock, which is a point striking for martial arts. And we sat in a hotel room, and I was asking, why do you look so young? How could you look so young? What's your secret? He said, well, I drink plenty of water, and it's all about how I think. He said, I do the deep breathing, and he taught me that when you breathe, when you learn to lower your breath rate per minute, you are pulling in cosmic dust, all of these elements into your body. Stardust is what he called it. And he didn't say Ormus, you know, he didn't know anything about that, but he said that you're pulling in cosmic dust, stardust, into your body, you know, and then it's all about the mindset. He said, right now, if I started thinking that I'm old and feeling that I'm old, I'm going to change. He said, it'll probably take me a couple weeks, but you'll see that I can actually change the way I look. I can start to look pretty ran down in a matter of a few weeks if I change my mindset. So he said he stays in the moment with the mindset, this feeling of youth, this living of youth, you know, and it just stays. And he really, I mean, I was floored when I first met him back in 96 by his skin, by the way he looked. And the Chinese call it the skin of jade because it's very smooth. You can't even see a single pore on his face, you know.
Wow.
An amazing thing.
Very cool.
Yeah, so that, yeah, I just wanted to butt in for a minute.
Can I just ask a question?
Yeah.
Yeah, Charles, I was just wanting to ask, you mentioned the Brown's gas number that you used on the dog. Would you be willing to share that, the 11-digit one?
Want to share the number, the frequency number?
Yeah, please.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I can share with the entire room. And if everybody's ready, I'll repeat it as many times as you want me to. It's my energy system.
Ready?
All right. I'm gonna go ahead and say it now. It's 9374876918. Did you get that? Okay. And what you do with this?
That's the frequency for what?
That's the frequency that John Hudson doused for the Brown's gas. He called that the Brown's gas frequency that he doused. And he taught me that back in 2007. He taught me that frequency to take that and repeat that in my head and project it mentally into water and put on this hound dog that came running through my yard or walking through my yard. They had a bad case of the mange. I called John because I knew he loved dogs and I knew he would know what to do. And so he taught me that number. And it's a very interesting number. So the only thing you have to do, everybody can do this. I mean, we're always projecting information all the time. Okay, for instance, when you go, let's say you're going to leave your house and go to the store. Your intention is already set. You've set your intent to go to the store. Well, the energy is already there because you know which store you want to go to. So where the energy goes, your body must follow. So there's information flowing through the air to the store. Same way when you're going to open the door. Before you even touch the knob, automatically your intent, boom, the energy is there. So your body must follow. So the same with the frequency. You look at that water, you put your energy there, you repeat that frequency in your head. You can say it many times or just once. And it will charge that water up. It'll alter that water.
Wow.
That's great, thanks, Charles. And also, you mentioned before John spoke to you about what to look for in nature. Was that specifically just for the alkaline soils, or did he refer to any other things as well?
Well, when he mentioned what to look for, he was referring to how he prospected the lands out in the West, in Nevada and Arizona, and some other locations out west, look for soil that has nothing growing in it. And he was always about that. And not only that, he was really hard-hitting when it came to the particle size. He said you wanted to be as fine a particle as you could possibly get it. If it's not already fine, break it down, you know? Just break it down to a smaller size. You can heat the stuff up and throw it in water repeatedly to just break it down, dry it out, and always make sure that the actual source material is completely dry before you actually do the leach on it, because it could alter the yield. It could affect the yield of what you want to get of the powder. But anyway, he said look for places, spots that there's nothing growing. As a matter of fact, I found plenty of spots out here in South Carolina where there's nothing growing, and it's been in red clay soil that's in the upstate here, in this western, northwestern part of South Carolina, and then the eastern part, southeastern, it's more of a sandy type soil, and I found plenty of spots there that nothing would grow in. And I've actually processed both the materials and got the powder. Now, the sandy type material from the southeastern part of the state of South Carolina, when I actually put that in the hydrochloric acid solution, I got a green that blew me away. This color, it was like an olive green, and but it was clear. I mean, it was very beautiful. But with the red clay, I got a yellowish green type, and I think it's because of the iron content in the red clay.
I think it's because of the ormus content. Barry in his workshop has photographs of this green, yellowy green ormus color. In fact, he uses it as the background for his displays, and it's the identical color.
Yeah, that's the color we get. Yeah, and so yeah, it's that's the color of the leach solution. But you know, I mean, I've even gotten a powder to drop out of a solution that was crystal clear and looked like water, and that was I've actually dropped it out. I've tried bentonite, azomite. A lot of other materials. I've even went to Walmart, you know, the red volcanic rocks that you get.
Mm-hmm.
You throw it around your bushes and whatnot, in the front, back, side, and had that crushed into a very, very, very fine powder. Performed a leach on that. And depending on the strength of the acid, it was either clear or green. I mean, I got the green out of that. Mm-hmm. And then got the white powder.
You also dropped some precipitate out of that sand that Tom Waters sent from California.
Yeah, he sent us some quite an amount of sand, and we actually we didn't weigh the powder itself that was in the beaker, but when we looked at it, it looked like it could have been maybe five grams of the powder. We dropped out of maybe 500 to 700 milliliters of the solution, which is really good.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, that was interesting.
How do you know for sure that you're not also getting any toxic elements in there?
Well, because the actual materials that I use, I know what's in them. I mean, I'm not gonna, like for instance, when I did some of the processes on the red clay and the sands from the southeastern part of the state,
uh-huh.
I actually had some people analyze the stuff.
Oh, I see.
But
okay.
Now the stuff from California that Tom Waters sent over, we haven't. I still have my sample out, and we're going to get that tested to see what all is in that. But a lot of the powder I did make was from the actual sand that John Hudson had shipped to his property from Nevada, and he
uh-huh.
had all that tested. I have someone there that still lives on the property. It sends me some of the stuff when I need it.
Oh, good. Okay.
But there's 5 tons of it there that I have access to.
Oh, wow. Excellent.
We're planning on a road trip to Arizona.
Oh, good.
Yes, we are. Hey, we're going for dirt.
Dirt first.
Excuse me, this is Estea from Monterey, California. Again, could you repeat the frequency one more time to make sure I have it right and what it is called?
Yes, sure. Okay, here we go. 9374876938. It's the frequency number for the brown gas.
Could you spell
that?
What,
the brown's gas?
Like brown,
like
color brown?
Yes.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Would it work to write it, like, on water bottles?
I do that, too. Yeah, I do that, too. I'll either write it on the container itself with a Sharpie marker, or I'll put a label on there, a clear label, and write the frequency number on there and put some laminate over it, like maybe some Scotch tape, something clear, you know, or some packing tape.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know. So it's somewhat waterproof, and, because that helps. That's like a good focal point for you. Yeah.
Well,
I write love and light on all my water bottles to infuse it with that energy.
Mhm. Yeah, do that. Do that. Write that frequency number down on some of those bottles, and you know, look at it and repeat the frequency, and know that the frequency is actually there, and it's already there. It's already affected the solution, the water.
You can chant it or even sing it through your water.
Oh yeah.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
I've got a question. This is Paul. You've talked about using dolomite and bentonite and stuff. How does this process work on organic materials like, say, coconut sugar or aloe vera juice?
Well, I personally, Kenneth, I've never really tried it on those things. I'd be willing to do it, see what would happen. Like I said, I'm still working on perfecting me, you know, who I am, and the processes, and I don't think there's ever a point where you stop. It's an ever upward spiral in this evolution. You know, it goes and goes and goes. When you think you've got it, you better look a little deeper, because you can make adjustments. You can learn new things. So yeah, you know, I'll be willing to try it and give you some feedback.
Okay. Cool.
So any other questions? The Charles on this course, because we're down to our last few minutes of the call. Speak now if we ever hold your peace. Hit *7 if you want to ask a question or make a comment.
Okay, this is Bryce here. I was just going to ask whether you've found out anything or touched on anything to do with Chinese or Kemi. I think you read every now and again some kinds of things they talk about Chinese or Kemi. So, yeah, I'm just wondering if there's anything there.
Yeah, well, in my studies, the martial arts that I learned that I now teach are Bagua Jiang, Xingyi, and Tai Chi. And, you know, a lot of the mountain-dwelling Taoists in China actually practice internal alchemy. Now, that's another story. I began my training in the Chinese martial arts, the internal arts, and I learned Taoist yoga, which is the internal alchemy, to transform your energies into useful things, to sustain the body, to work toward an incorruptible body. And as a result, I got into Western alchemy, and it went on from there. But I've never really studied the physical alchemical applications of the Chinese alchemy, you know, when they work with the cinnabar and all that stuff now. But, yeah, the internal alchemy, yes.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Any other questions?
One more. you were talking about using red clay and doing a leachate on that. For brown clay. Did that have any kinds of extra results or anything like that?
I never really noticed anything different for any of the source material I use. The only thing is, I get an identical white powder from any source of material that I actually extract. But I do want to say something that I recently discovered a couple months ago. For every 125 milliliters, if you're doing a very slow evaporation on a solution, a different grade of powder will form at different levels. In the middle of the solution now, a more of a grainy powder will form, then a more light, fluffy, a slivery, silvery needle-like. Then you have a mixture, but then if you turn up the heat, it all goes away, and then it'll come back. And when it comes back, it'll be the same consistency. So I decided to separate each powder out, and I've even showed this to Thomas. He's seen it. It's really different. I get a powder that will not dissolve back into the acid at all. It's a very heavy powder, and I have some of that here too. And so, I guess the thing that makes the stuff go is what's inside and how we program it. You know, what we give to it.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
I have a quick question for you, Thomas. It's Rich from Vancouver Island. Did you ever get around to doing anything with those rocks I sent you? Or have you noticed anything about them?
He means you, Charles.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, Richard. This is Charles.
Yeah,
By the way, guys, Richard Idian sent me some very beautiful salt. Okay, and as a matter of fact, when I tasted this salt, I couldn't believe my taste buds. It was very the taste was awesome. And he also sent me some very heavy rocks. They're black, shiny, and they're interesting to look at. I do know one thing. When I first put one in my pocket to carry around, I noticed that my body started shifting around, my energies, and I felt sort of like a detox going on. A little something started happening inside. But upon his recommendation, he said, take the bigger rock and put it under my bed when I sleep, and I do that. And I've noticed the difference with those rocks. Two rocks, guys. And the biggest rock I have is maybe about an inch and a half in diameter, and it weighs 4 ounces. It's pretty heavy.
Mm-hmm.
Thomas saw it. It's a great rock.
It's magnetic.
It is. It's very magnetic. It will not attract a metal, but it will attract to a magnet.
Oh,
and
wow.
It looks like giant magnetite.
It's a so they call that paramagnetic.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it is. It's magnetite, as near as I can figure, anyway.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, I've been playing with that with some of my healing modalities, ormuses, and I found that it seems to give it quite a boost. It definitely moves energy around. There's no question in my mind about that. You're right on the nail. I just wanted to see what your reaction was since the time I sent you. Incidentally, I've got another container full of hand-picked rocks here. I'm going to shoot you off so you can pass them around or do whatever you like with them to play with.
Okay.
I'll probably have to send some to Barry and Dennis now.
They're awesome. I mean, the rocks are really awesome, guys. I'm telling you.
My postage bill's going to be awful this month, but that's okay. Anyhow.
We'll send you some powder.
Okay. That would be great. I'm going to send you a container of these rocks to play with, and I've always been kind of impressed by them, and I just started picking them up one day because I was sitting on the riverbank and they sort of seemed to attract. There was just a kind of a nice still energy about the place, and then I just wandered down to the beach and I started picking them up. And I picked up maybe half a dozen and carried them back to my car, and they ended up sitting on my dresser, and I noticed that things started to change after that, especially when I was asleep. I was going through a bit of a troubled time at the time. I was having some problems, and the answers all seemed to fall into place a little bit quicker. It was just an interesting reaction that I noticed. So I started putting them next to my ormus, and I found that, if anything, it seemed to increase the effect that I intended the ormus to have quite pronouncedly. So it might just be that it helped me focus my intent, or it might be something to do with the fact that they're somehow channeling my energy a little bit better. I don't know what the mechanism is. All I know is that it seems to work. So anyhow, I'm glad you are enjoying them and using them, and as soon as I get my tension check here, I'll shoot you another batch, because I've got them all picked out, ready to go. I just haven't got around to financing the mailing yet. They're damn heavy. So, anyhow, maybe I'll see if I can get a couple for Barry and Dennis, too. The international postage would be a little hideous, but that's okay.
Send mine to Dennis.
Okay. Are you going to be seeing him shortly? Or?
No, I have so many rocks, I don't know what to do with them.
Okay. No problem. Yeah, okay. Yeah, well, this one you might have trouble losing it in the other batch, because they always seem to find their way out. I don't know why that is. I put all these rocks in with a bunch of other rocks that I'd collected, and they all seem to
stand out on their own.
I finally took them back out again, and it wasn't because I knew where they were. I had them in a bucket,
uh-huh.
And they all I just picked them all back out without having to sort them or anything.
Wow.
And You can kind of feel the energy in them if you hold them in your hands. And all they are is magnetite. And I'm sure that any river that you could find that has magnetite rocks in it would produce the same thing. But they're
magnetite seems to be a very, very, very good Orma source.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's the other thing. I've got a friend with a ball mill, and I was going to get him to crush a bunch of them, but I found I couldn't quite part with them. Anyhow, he needs a whole bunch more than what I've got to make a decent batch, and then I'm gonna try sodium burn, or maybe John's process with it.
Cool.
Or maybe I'll just send some powder to Charles, and he can do John's process, and I'll do the sodium burn.
Yeah, we can do any one of those things.
Yeah, that'd be fun. Anyhow, thanks. I appreciate that. By the way, great call, Charles. It's been a total uplift here since I tuned in. I've had some rather heavy news. The doctors want to amputate my pop's leg, and a bunch of other things have been happening. And anyhow, I've been a little down this week, and I've been working probably 20 hours a day, so it's a nice breath of fresh air to tune into these calls. So it always is, and this one was especially good.
Good. Any other questions? Dennis, are you shuffling papers?
Hello.
Hello. Go ahead. Hello.
Are we all still on?
As far as I know, I haven't heard anybody leave. Dennis might have fallen asleep.
Charles is going to demonstrate John's process at the conference in September at Anoda.
Okay.
Within a few days, we'll have up a early registration link for people to sign up, people can start to register. The speaker list is growing, and it's a very exciting opportunity to have an in-person experience, rather like this call has been. The wonderful part of being a producer is being able to send what you make off to folks and get their products back. It's a great opportunity to share a vibration and that oneness and that unity would you find in this Ormus process. That's what we're hoping to do at the conference, is have a little kumbaya part of it.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing I like most.
Yeah.
Hello, I have a question for Dennis. Dennis, could you tell us more about the astrology that's going to be happening with the summer solstice?
Some of that. Say again?
Hello?
She asked
about some of that.
Could you tell us a little bit more about the astrology that's going to be happening with the summer solstice?
Ah, well, we're not having a summer solstice. We're having a winter solstice. Either way, the energy astrologically is the same. In fact, there's a very rare conjunction or combination or very close proximity at 26 degrees Aquarius of Neptune, which takes about 160-odd years to get around the whole cycle. Jupiter takes about 12 years. Jupiter changes astrological sign every year. And Chiron, which is a big meteorite, which is part of the planet that used to exist between Mars and Jupiter. And all three of them are exactly the same place. The Chiron is associated with healing, and Jupiter is associated with expansion and bigness and money and abundance and luck, fortune.
Yes.
And Neptune is the highest aspect of spirituality at one end, and the other end, Neptune's associated with lies, skullduggery, and bullshit. In other words, anything that you can't put your finger on. And so all of those, the expansion of your highest possibility in your spiritual nature and the healing of your basic, of some of the most fundamental invisible influences in your society are being up for grabs right now. Now, I just read a report last night or this morning that Obama is going to go down the track of trying to rein in the Federal Reserve that just makes up extraordinary amounts of money out of nothing. And so I'm thinking this would be a very big undertaking if he was able to.
There's
Obama,
nothing there.
That's right. According to this report, Obama is going to have a go at pulling and reining in and making the Federal Reserve accountable, which is a privately owned financial manufacturing entity that manufactures money and charges the government for money they make up out of nothing. And John Kennedy signed a presidential statute bringing the printing of money under the roof of the government, and he got shot for that. And President Reagan tried to do the same, and John Hinckley, who was the son of one of the Bush's buddies, he nearly got killed as well. So big things are afoot, basically. Very big healings in our society, in our culture, and on our planet are afoot at the moment. And this last full moon and this solstice are capturing those energies very strongly.
I firmly believe that. Apparently, Bernanke was just grilled by Congress a few months back because the Federal Reserve was printing money and they didn't even know how much they were printing. Nobody knew how much they were printing. I think it's on its way out, personally.
Well, I heard someone say that the Federal Reserve is federal like Federal Express is federal.
That's a good one. Thank you.
There's nothing federal about it whatsoever.
Well, maybe it's just part of set up.
Huh. Yeah.
Are any of you gentlemen aware of David Wilcox?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes, he's got some pretty amazing information on his site.
You got some real fascinating material. Just Google Project Camelot Jump Room to Mars.
Yes. Wonderful.
I'd also recommend
pretty fascinating material.
Listening to any video from Benjamin Fulford, Fulford.
and you can see Benjamin Fulford's interview at Project Camelot. And ideally, if you watch that interview and then you start tracking Benjamin Fulford, his latest material is on YouTube that just came out last week. It's quite fascinating. But it's useful to know the core background to his stuff. Which in a nutshell is that he's teamed up with the Japanese and Chinese secret societies, and they're saying to the Illuminati, if you try to mess up our planet anymore, we're going to start assassinating you starting at the top. We're going to assassinate every single one of you with our 10,000 trained assassin ninjas, and you will never see it coming. So you better get lively and lighten up with what you're doing and straighten up your act, otherwise you're going to be dead. And it's pretty fascinating stuff. But listen,
well,
we're
getting off subject a little bit here?
We are, and we're going to get off the call any moment now. But and I do really appreciate our guest today, Charles, who is completely fascinating, a man totally after my own heart and a man who knows the power, the potency, the potentiality, and the purpose of Ormus is to be programmed for massive upliftment of all of humanity. Good on you, Charles. And so I really appreciate all of you guys being on this call.
He said, good on you.
I think you had a fantastic call.
Good on you.
It's a great call.
Yeah, good on you, mate. Good on you.
Yeah, thanks.
So that's it for me.
I really enjoyed being on this call.
Just as you leave, just say goodbye.
Thank you.